Yeah, I found that old recording. I think it's the old Mountain Anthems recording, so if you don't have it, I could send that to you, but thanks for leading out in that. Also, a letter from Brother Sim and his wife Sarah that he asked to have read this morning to all of us. Dear brothers and sisters at the Stettler congregation, Romans 1:20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. It is with joy and good memories we greet you this beautiful resurrection morning. What a joy to serve the risen and ever-living King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We wanted to send a greeting and a note to you to again thank you for your kindness and hospitality shown to us in so many ways while we were with you. We will carry those memories for a long time. Thanks, too, for the gifts and the money given. We did not come for pay, but certainly appreciate your gift to us and are finding ways to spend it that will bless others. Thanks again. May God be near each of you as you keep getting off the throne of your life and inviting Jesus to be there. God bless and keep you all. Our love to each of you, Sim and Sarah. We're just communicating this morning about the resurrection again, and he agreed that life after Easter is full of passion too. And he said yesterday he shook hands with a person in a wheelchair, black man, he said, and that black man quoted Romans 8:28, is it? I think all things work together for glory, to the glory of God. And some was like, we were ready to have church right there in the store, wherever it was they were meeting. The hope of heaven. So affects us very much today as well. But it's a beautiful story, all of it. I was able to be up early this morning as well, and just right over at sunrise, and I think it happened up north of us too, but the sun came shining through. It was purple, orange, pink, sun coming through right over the sunrise. Yeah, it was almost 2,000 years ago that there were humans like you and I, men and women, and I'm sure children, although I don't have any verses for the children this morning to include them, but you listen anyway, because this involves people that were there that morning. And what were they thinking? We have some clues what they were thinking. Three women and one man. There was more, but that's enough for us this morning. Luke 24. If you can turn to that, we'll read. And there's a couple of them mentioned here. Two of the ladies and one of the men are mentioned here. And we'll turn to another passage for a record of who the other woman was. And what were they thinking? And where was their thinking wrong? And what should have they been thinking? In fact, why were they out early that morning going to the tomb, especially the ladies? The men weren't even around at first. And they had an accusation for the women that were around. Now upon the first day of the week, which is Sunday, very early in the morning, and this is Luke 24, verse 1. Very early in the morning they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them, because they were going to show their respect to Jesus' body, dead body. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed, or anxious even, thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And is this probably in the tomb yet? Shining garments in a dark tomb. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek, this is the angels saying to the ladies here, why seek ye the living among the dead? Why are you in a tomb looking for Jesus? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, because these ladies were his disciples. And they returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the 11 apostles. And here it says what the men were thinking. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Peter and John go running to see for themselves what was true. Why seek ye the living among the dead? But that's not what they were doing. They were seeking the dead among the dead. They had a misguided motive. So, the first woman mentioned here, Mary Magdalene. If you want to see a little bit more about her, who was she and why might she have been among these women? Luke 8, same book here. If we just jump back to Luke 8, it lists a couple of the women and what they were doing. Jesus and the disciples were going through the cities, throughout every city and village, preaching and showing glad tidings of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with them, so there was the 12 disciples. And verse 2 in Luke 8, certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils. So here's a woman who was healed of demons and some kind of infirmities, or, you know, she had had needs, but she was healed of her Lord. And she's among those coming to the tomb to show respect to a dead body with spices. And what was she thinking? So it says that these ladies, these sisters, there's Mary Magdalene, Joanna is mentioned here, Susanna, which I think that might be the only thing we really know about Susanna, just that she's mentioned here, which these ladies ministered unto Jesus out of their things, their money, their substance. But they heard the teaching too. They remembered the teaching. They were disciples. Which was strange for a rabbi to have women disciples. It was against their culture, but Jesus did. And Mary Magdalene was one. So she depended on Jesus for her life. And now her Savior, the one she depended on, is dead. And there's those demons. And she could have had a tape playing in her head, like we can today, the tape that plays, and it's playing a falsehood. Maybe those demons are there to say, see, you trusted in someone that's not there for you. He's dead. And that tape is playing. The demons are ready to come back. We self-define that tape that plays in our head, and if we self-define it, it's not going to be accurate. And it wasn't accurate from the fact that they were looking for the dead among the dead. And knowing that they were human, including Mary Magdalene, they were afraid too. So there was fear, there was wrong assumptions, false assumptions. There could have easily been those voices in her head telling her that, see, we are powerful and we're coming back. But it wasn't true. Where did you lay him? Her question wasn't, where was he? Where did these people that stole the body, where did they lay the body? There was only one answer that she needed. It was full of passion. Life after the resurrection. All Jesus had to say was Mary, her name. Jesus says, your name. What's your struggle? What's your demons? What's the tape that plays in your head? In our humanity, we probably have some kind of weakness, some kind of deep besetting temptation that's there to play. Is Jesus alive? Does his power? Is he alive? Is he there for me? And he says our name. We can put our name in there. Don't seek the dead among the dead. Don't seek the living among the dead. That was wrong for them, but we do that with our lack of faith. I am here in all power. You are mine. You have all power through me, Jesus says. I am living and you are living in me. Mary Magdalene, she depended on Jesus for her life. And there he was as her Lord. Maybe another feeling was not of only of desertion, but one of being used. I was duped. I was being used. He's dead. Wasn't true. He's alive. And she says, Master. Life after Easter. He defines who we are. We are not defined by that tape that plays in our head, that's negative, by the demons that were in our life. We're not defined by our dark moments that are back there. He says, you're mine. I'm here. You're mine. He says your name. That's Magdalena. That's who she found at the empty tomb when she was seeking among the dead. She found her living Lord. The second life after Easter. The second lady that's mentioned in our Luke 24 passage and in Luke 8 is Joanna. In Luke 24:10, there was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, and in Luke 8, this is about all we know of her as well. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, or Herod's main household manager. Her husband Chuza was in the king's house as a household manager. So, husband and wife. Wife is a disciple of Jesus, following, listening to the teaching, ministering to Jesus, probably with her husband's money, the king's pay. The king who had John the Baptist beheaded. So it's very real political connections that Joanna would have had the right to have been concerned about. And her husband would have had a right to be concerned about. He's working for an evil king who's out to kill. She's a disciple and ministering and under the teaching of the King of Kings, Jesus, who doesn't fight with the sword, at least not then, not today. Interesting. What about him? We don't know if he was faithful or not. He could have been. Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. But her boss had the power to kill John the Baptist, and he was after Jesus. So in their work, they were at a different place. To those that are married, do you connect with being at a different place than your spouse? It's okay. It's to be expected, except that I didn't think about that when we married, that we're gonna be together. We live together, we grow together. But it's true. Even though there is lots that's together, there is a part of each of our lives. Husband and wife, the spouses are going to be at a little different place in their journey, even in the Lord. And it's true for all of us, young, old, everyone is on their personal journey. And it's very rare in life that there would be anyone at the same exact place as you. And if you did meet him or pass him on the street, you probably wouldn't even know it. But Joanna and her husband were at different places in their walk and probably in their personal lives. She was coming to seek the dead among the dead. She, as a disciple of Jesus who ministered to him while he was living, wanted to minister to him when he was dead. But it was her Lord, and she found him living. And Jesus was there for her husband, whatever his needs, whatever his strength, whatever his opportunity. He was there for both of them personally, wherever they were at, in the king's house, and as a disciple of Jesus, it didn't matter. He was there for both of them, even though they were at different places. She could be at rest with that, personally following her Lord. And we can be at rest in that. In life after Easter, we want to walk with others. We share our lives very, very closely with the one we're married to. But it's like that poem. I didn't bring it. I just was able to hear it recited this week too. He borrowed a cross. He borrowed a tomb. He borrowed a place to stay, a pillow. Everything he borrowed, but the cross that he bore and the crown that he wore were his own. It was that way for Joanna. It's that way for you and I. That crown that we wear, the cross that is ours to bear, it's ours. No one else bears it for us. Joanna found Jesus there, and so can we. The third lady, mother, and she's not named in our Luke 28 passage. I have a reference here. I'll see if it's the right one where more of it is mentioned who it is. Yes, Matthew 27. And this is listing at the cross even. The women were there when Jesus was dying. It says the disciples all left. It don't say that about the women. But here's the woman that were at the cross. Matthew 27, verse 55. Many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him. They were Jesus' disciples, which were traveling with the 12 and with Jesus, and were there ministering, it says, to him, to Jesus especially, among which was Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, or John, I'm not sure, it says, and the mother of Zebedee's children. So is that's all the same person? Mary, the mother of James and John, the mother of Zebedee's children, is I think what that means. She was a woman disciple of Jesus, and she was here at the cross, and at the, among these women which were there to anoint Jesus' body with the spices, although this passage is about the cross, but anyway, I didn't write that down where it includes her too. Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, to the sepulcher were coming. Salome was her name, the mother of Zebedee's children, the twins of thunder, sons of thunder, James and John. The mother who wants good things for her children. So we can read about that in Matthew 20. What kind of mother was she? Very involved. More involved and more outspoken in the gospel story than even her husband Zebedee. Matthew 20, verse 20. Then came the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping Jesus and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She said unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on my left, in thy kingdom. Jesus answered and said, You know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they, the brothers, James and John, we are able. And he says unto them, You shall indeed drink of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand or on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared for my Father. And the other 10 were angry. But then Jesus goes on to teach. And in Mark, I believe it is, it brings another angle to the story that the two sons put their mother up to it. Go tell Jesus to get a good seat for us. Parents want good things for their children. Salome did, even though it was faulty. And she got part of that rebuke for asking something selfish. She was probably under the indignation of the other 10 men, along with her sons. She knew what it was like to be condemned. She's going to the tomb to anoint a dead body. What's the tape that's playing in her head? A mother that wanted the best for her boys but got condemnation, got rebuke instead. When there's a living Lord, a Lord that's there for you and me, there was no longer condemnation but forgiven. I'm forgiven. And that was for Salome. She wanted success. We want what's best for our children. We want them to know what it means to work, to have a good business, at least be a good worker, not slothful. But the lame man wanted money, and there was more to be had than money. Father and mother have to know what it means for life after Easter, not to seek the living among the dead. Point them to God. Raise them for God. He's a God of the living, not of the dead. That is life after Easter. He is the living of those who died in Christ. So there is life after death, but there's life. There's eternal death and there's eternal life. So in that sense, he's God of the living and not of the dead. Life after Easter. For that mother who knew rebuke, who knew selfishness, who knew that condemnation of all that, a risen Lord means you're forgiven. Go on. One more. That was three women. The man, Peter. So that this is all traumatic for them. They had been through the passion of the suffering and death of their Lord. And then there was the stories that he was risen and he shows up among them. And there he is. But it's hard to make sense of it all. Full of emotion and feeling, even after the resurrection. And the disciples go fishing. You know this story. John 21. We go fishing. Jesus sees them. He tells them how to catch fish. And he has breakfast for them. Bring of the fish which you have caught. They were dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to land, Jesus had breakfast. The coals were there and fish laid and bread. And he feeds them. Come and dine. I'm here to take care of you. After they had dined, Jesus has those questions for Peter to restore him. Simon, son of Jonas, son of John, the old name for the old Peter who had betrayed his Lord. Do you love me more than these, more than the boats, or more than the disciples? Lord, you're my friend. No rebuke, just a question. Do you love me? Do you commit to me? Lord, you're my friend. Feed my lambs. Jesus says again the second time, Simon, the old name for the old man who betrayed his Lord. Simon, do you love me? Do you commit to me? Lord, you know, you're my friend. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs, now feed my sheep. The basis for the work is his love for his Lord. It's a lesser love. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep. The third time, Simon, the old man, the old betrayer, Simon, do you love me as a friend? Peter was grieved because he said the third time, do you love me as a friend, when he said he was. And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you as my friend. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Then he gives a promise. He's going to be faithful. He's going to die by crucifixion. Follow me. Peter, forgetting that we personally follow the Lord, like we said about Joanna and her husband, he's worried about John, the other disciple. What about him? No, this is a personal call for you to bear your cross and follow me. And here Jesus gets sharp. Right in verse 22, you follow me. Don't point fingers at anyone else. Personal call, personal cross, personal following. If I will that I tarry, that John tarry till I come, what's that to you? You follow me. Feed my sheep, feed my lambs. There was betrayal, sin enough that Peter went out weeping. There was resurrection. There was life. There was forgiveness. Follow me.